This week is Parshas Noach, and we focus our shir in the story of the raven and the dove, which is on chapter 8, verse number 7. Pasuk number 6 says, "Vayimikes Rabbayim Yoim." It was after 40 days, meaning after 40 days that the ark rested on top of the mountain. "Vayiftach Noach es chaloin ateva." Noach opened up the window of the ark, asher oso, that he made. And then on Pasuk number 7, "Vayishalach es oirev," he sent out the raven, "Vayetze yotzoi v'shoiv," but the raven kept going and returning, "At yaboishes amayim me'al oretz," until the waters dried up from the earth. We have to understand, number one, why did Noah send out the raven? Why didn't he send out any other animal? Why specifically did Noah send out the raven? And second, we have to understand also what is the purpose for him sending out the raven. Because if we say that the purpose of sending out the raven is to see if the waters have receded from the earth, then the Torah should have mentioned, in the same way that the Torah mentions in the next pasuk, when he sends out the dove, there the pasuk says, "Vayishalach es hayoina meitoi," that he sent the dove from him, "lirois," to see, "hakalo amayim me'al pnei adama," if the waters have receded from the earth, then we see clearly that when he sent out the dove, there was a specific purpose for sending out the dove, to see if the waters have receded from the earth. But yet, when he sends out the raven, the Torah doesn't say what the purpose was for sending out the raven. And the Torah says that the raven kept circling, "At yaboishes amayim al oretz," until the water became dry from the earth. And if you take the pasuk literally, it means the raven kept circling for 3 weeks, because he waited a week and he sent out the dove, and the dove could not find a place to rest. Then he waited another week and sent out again the dove. Then the dove came back with a alezai starav befia, with a leaf of olive tree in its mouth. And then he waited another week, and then the dove didn't come back. And then Noah realized that the waters became dry. If we say that the raven kept circling, "Ad yaboishes amayim me'al haaretz," until it was dry, that means that the raven kept circling back and forth for 3 weeks. And in fact, that is the opinion of the Evan Ezra. The Evan Ezra says that the raven never came back to the teva to stay inside. He continually flew back and forth until Noah left the teva when the earth dried up. And according to the Evan Ezra, and according to the simple interpretation, we have a problem understanding why Noah felt he needed to send the dove. Meaning, since the raven was flying back and forth without coming into the teva until the waters dried up, there is no purpose of sending the dove. Because we could see from the raven, if the raven is going to leave the teva forever, that means that the earth dried up. And if the raven doesn't leave, that means that the earth still is not dry. Then what is the purpose of sending the dove? We could say that this is why Rashi says that hoylech umakiv sivos ateva, that the raven was going around the teva, veloy halach bishlichosoy, and he did not fulfill the mission of being a messenger to Noach. Why? Sheyochoshdoy albas zugoy, because the raven was suspecting Noach of trying to do something to its mate. As it's written in Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kofches Omid Beis 108b, where there the Gemara says in the name of Rish Lakish, Tshuva nitzches heshivu oirev Noach, that the raven retorted to Noach with a winning argument. What's the argument? Omaloi, the raven told Noach, Rabcho soneni, your master hates me, meaning Hashem hates me, v'ato sonosani, and you also hate me. Why? She'ato maniach mimin shiva, because when you were supposed to send somebody to see if the waters dried up, you refrain from using one of the species that you brought, seven of each, v'sholeach mimin shnayim, and you're sending out from a species that only has two of each. Impogeya bi sar chamo oy sar tzina, because if the master of heat and the master of cold strikes me, lo nimtza oylam choser beri achas, isn't the world missing one species? Meaning that Hashem told previously to Noach that he should take two animals from all species, meaning a male and a female from all species. And then the Torah tells you that from the clean animals and from the clean birds, he should take an additional seven of each. It is only logical that if you are sending an animal at risk for cold and heat, at risk of dying, that you should send an animal of the seven. Because if you send an animal of the two, like me, and something happens to me, then the world will be missing one species, because my female mate is in the teva, but there is nobody to mate with my female mate. That means that one species is going to be missing. It's important to note that the raven did not only say that Noah hates me because Noah is sending me at risk and then my species is going to end. But the raven also said, Rabcho Soneni, that your master hates me, that Hashem hates me, because Hashem only chose two of my species and did not choose seven of my species. And also it's important to know that the argument of the raven was maybe Sar Shel Chamo, that the master of heat, the Sar Shel Tzino, the master of cold, would strike me and then I will die. Why did the raven specifically pick those two conditions? Sefer Metudas David explains, based on the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Lamed Omed Beis 30b, where the Gemara there says, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim, besides cold and heat, meaning whenever something bad happens to a person, that is part of a heavenly decree, besides when a person is exposed to cold or heat, that this is not a heavenly decree, this is a decree brought by the person himself, and not a result of Hashem's decree. Therefore, the raven argued that true that Hashem did not decree for me to die by coming out of the ark, because he allowed me to come in, and he wants to propagate the species, but since the Sar Shel Tzino, the master of cold, Sar Shel Chamo, the master of heat, could strike me, and then it's not going to be part of a heavenly decree, then I will be dead, and then the world will be missing one of the species. And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the raven said to Noach, Shemo le'ishti ata tzoruch, perhaps you need my wife as your mate. The Iyun Yaakov says that this is a reinforcement of the previous argument, meaning that he argued with Noach, do you think that if I die, you could mate with my wife, the raven, and thereby propagate the species? Clearly not. Then why did you send me away? Adon Fosh explained that the raven meant literally, meaning that the raven suspected Noah of wanting to have relations with the female raven, and therefore he said, Shemol ishti ato tzorech, maybe you need that for my wife. And we'll explain soon the opinion of the Rachaim and see how he interprets this statement. But the Levush Oira says that it is inconceivable that the raven suspected Noach of wanting to have relations with his female mate. Therefore, the Levush Oira says that when he says, Shemo ishti ato tzorech, maybe you want my wife, means maybe you want my wife to cross if other species, like that you don't need me. Meaning you are sending me to my death by sending me out of the ark, and maybe I will get hit by the cold or the heat and die, like that you'll be able to use the female raven to cross with other species. The Gemara says that when Noah heard the words of the raven, Noah said, Rasha, evil one, Bemutarli Nesarli, my wife, which is normally permitted to me, it's prohibited to me while I am at the ark. But Nesarli Lekoshken, by a species that's prohibited for me, for sure it is forbidden to me. Meaning by the simple interpretation, how can you suspect me of wanting to have relations with the female raven when this is definitely prohibited for me even when I'm not in the ark? Meaning, when I'm the ark, I can't have relations with my wife, which is normally permitted for me, and I fulfilled it and I didn't have relations with her. For sure, I will not have relations with somebody that is always forbidden to me. And according to the Levush Ha'ora, we have to say that the interpretation is that if I am not having relations with my wife, which normally is permitted to me, that means that I follow what Hashem is telling me, for sure I will not cross another species on your wife, on the female raven, because that's prohibited even not inside the ark. Meaning because it's prohibited to cross species anywhere. We're not allowed to mate one species with another. With those words, Noah rebutted the raven, but when it came time to send another bird, Noah decided to bring the dove. This is the opinion of Rashi, that Rashi holds that the raven did not fulfill its mission to see if the waters are dry. It kept circling and arguing with Noah that Noah wants to kill her and have relations with the female raven. The problem with Rashi's interpretation is, number one, if the raven was sent to see if the waters dried up, why doesn't the Torah write down that Noah sent the raven to see if the waters have receded, and then the raven didn't do it? The second question we are going to ask is, what is the purpose, according to Rashi, to tell us the story about the raven? Meaning, the raven was sent to see if the waters have receded, the raven did not do its mission, and Noah had to send the dove to see if the waters have receded. What is the purpose of telling us the story about the raven altogether? If the raven didn't do anything and there was no message to it, it just said no, then what's the purpose of telling us the story about the raven? And third, that in the next pasuk, in pasuk number 8, it says, Vaishalach esayoina mitoy, that Noah sent the dove from with him, meaning he sent the dove to see if the waters have receded. There Rashi brings down that it was Lesof Zayin Yomim. It was after 7 days. Meaning, after 7 days that the raven did not go, then Noah sent out the dove. Rashi brings a proof, because it's written in Pasuk number 10, Vayochel Oit Shivasom Macherim, and he waited another 7 days. That means that there was a previous wait of 7 days. From here you see that he waited 7 days between the sending of the raven and the sending of the dove, because otherwise you couldn't call it another 7 days. Then the question is, if I say that the raven did not fulfill its mission, did not want to go see if the waters have receded, he should have sent the dove right away. Why didn't he send the dove instantly to find out if the waters have receded? Why did he wait 7 days? The Sefarna gives a very interesting interpretation, and he says that the reason for sending out the raven is not to see if the waters have receded, since the Torah clearly doesn't write down that this is the reason. And he explains that the reason for sending out the raven is that since Noah saw the tip of the mountains, Noah wanted to know if the air is dry enough to sustain life, that if it's dangerous for people to still be in the air. Therefore, Noah sent the raven to see if the waters have dried up, but the raven flew and saw that it can't tolerate. Therefore, the raven came back to the ark, and therefore, Noah waited another 7 days until he sent out the dove to find out if the waters have receded, because by then, the quality of the air for sure has dried up, since there wasn't any rain anymore. Rabbi Avadia Bar Tanura gives a different reason why Noah sent the raven, and he says that since the raven usually eats carcasses, Noah figured that if there would be carcasses on the ground, the raven would come with a carcass on the ground, and since it didn't come, then Noah waited another 7 days, afterwards he sent the dove. But he doesn't answer why the Torah doesn't write down the purpose of sending out the raven, and why then he didn't send the raven again. Why wouldn't he send them a second time? Why only one time? The Malbim gives a different interpretation about the reason of sending out the raven, and he brings down that Bimei Kedem, in the days of old, they used to hold the raven as a bird that knows the future. And people used to have special houses for a raven where they would observe the raven, and through the way the raven flew, to the right, to the left, up or down, with noise or quietly, or different signs of how the raven acted, they would predict the future accordingly. And Noah wanted to find out what is happening to the air and to the seas. Therefore, Noah sent out the raven to itself. And by looking at the raven, Noah found out what is happening in the world. And according to this first interpretation of the Malbim, the raven actually fulfilled its mission, meaning by flying back and forth, then Noah found out what is happening to the world. And afterwards, Noah wanted to know for sure if the wall dried up. Therefore, he sent the dove. Since the dove dwells on low trees, then Noah would know if the earth had dried up or not. And that answers the question of why it's not written the purpose for sending out the raven. Because Noah wasn't sending it out for any purpose. He was just looking at the raven and seeing how the raven was behaving. From that, Noah found out what the stage of the world is. Mefarshim ask a question on this Malbim, that since Rashi writes down on chapter 7, verse number 2, where Hashem tells Noah that he should take from all clean animals 7, Rashi on the words HaTohoira asks, what does it mean, clean animals? Rashi explains, HaSida Lios Tohoira Leisrael, the animals that are going to be clean in the future for the Jewish people, meaning the animals that are going to be kosher in the future for the Jewish people. Rashi continues, Lomadnu, from here you learn, Shelomad Noach Torah, that Noach learned Torah, because otherwise how would he know which one is a kosher animal? And if Noach learned Torah, then obviously Noach also learned about the prohibition in Vayikra chapter 19, verse number 26, where it says, Lo yisenachshu, you should not indulge in sorcery. And according to one interpretation, sorcery is, if you see a bird flying in a certain way, then you are going to act in a certain way. Or if you see an animal crossing your path, then you are going to act in a different way. Then it's very hard to understand how is it possible that Noah would use the raven as a source of sorcery. And Mefarshim answered that if you read the language of the Malbim carefully, the Malbim started saying that the nations of the world used to use the raven as a source of sorcery to predict the future. But Noah didn't use the raven as a source to predict the future. Noah observed how the raven acted, and from the way the raven acted, Noah knew what's happening now, not what's happening in the future. And Noah didn't act in a certain way because the raven acted in a certain way, but just the nature of the raven, from the way the raven was going back and forth, from that Noah knew that the raven is uncomfortable, and therefore Noah knew the state of the world at that time. We will now proceed to give the answer of the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. But before we do that, we have to continue with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis 108b, that we mentioned. We mentioned earlier that it was prohibited for Noah and his family and all the animals of having relations in the Ark, in the Teva. And the Gemara there continues and brings a pasuk to that effect. The Gemara then says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Shloisha Shim Shuba Teva, that three species cohabitated in the Teva, the Kilon Laku, and all of them were affected, meaning all of them suffered something for it. The Gemara says, who are the three? Kelev, the dog, the Oirev, the raven, the Cham, and Cham, the son of Noah. The Gemara now proceeds to explain how they were affected. The Gemara says that Kelev Nikshar, that because the dog had relations in the ark, therefore, every time he has relations, he is tied up, he is connected to the female. Everybody could see what is happening. In other words, he is immodest. The Yad Rama gives a different interpretation, and it says that Kelev Nikshar means that the dog is usually tied up, meaning that it's usually on a leash, and the reason why he is controlled on a leash is because he had relations in the ark. The Gemara continues and says that Oirev, that the raven rock, spits. Rashi explains that the raven, when they have relations with the female, he spits the seed to the female. And the Gemara continues and says that Cham lokab oiroi, that Cham got punished by skin. There's two different interpretations in the meaning of that. According to Rashi, Cham had a son Cush, and Cush turned out to be black because of the sin that he did in the ark. And according to the Eitz Yosef, Cham's skin himself turned black because of what he did. Meaning, not like Rashi explains that the product of that relation, which was Cush, turned to be black, but Cham himself turned out to be black. As a side note, I wanted to say that could be that this machlokes between Rashi and the Eitz Yosef will depend on the interpretation of the Daza Kenim Bala Toisves in the end of Parshas Chukas. In the end of Parshas Chukas, on Bamidbar chapter 21, the Torah describes how the Jewish people fought against Sihon and they won, and they fought against Og and they also won. But before the fight against Og, the Torah writes down that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tira oisoi, that you should not fear Og. The Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph 61a, asks that we have a tradition that Sihon and Og were brothers. If Sihon and Og were brothers, why was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid more of Og than of Sihon? The Gemara answers in the name of Rabbi Shimon B'Yechai, that from what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he shouldn't be afraid, from here we see what was in the mind of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning that in Bereishis chapter 14, there we have the description of the war of the kings. And after the war of the kings, Lot was taken captive. And then in Pasuk number 13, it's written, Vayovoi Hapolit, and the escapee came. Vayaged le'Avram o'ivri, and told Avram Avinu that Lot was kidnapped. And the Gemara says that we know from the name of Rabbi Yochanan that who is the polit, who is the escapee, that is Og Melech HaBashan, Og the king of Bashan, that escaped from the floods. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Og has a great merit, that he helped out Avraham Avinu, and because of that merit, the Jewish people won't be able to defeat Og. Therefore Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tira oisoi, don't be afraid of him, ki beyat chonosati oisoi, because I already gave him in your hand. It is interesting to note that Rashi on the Gemara in Nida of Samach Aleph, on the words of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says that Og was called the escapee because he escaped the flood, Rashi there is trying to answer how did Og escape the flood. Rashi says that Og escaped the flood by going to Eretz Yisrael, because according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan himself in Zevachim, Daf 113, the floods did not affect Eretz Yisrael, and Og escaped to Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi and the Chumash in the end of Bamidbar on the Pasuk number 34, where he mentioned, Al tira oisoi, do not be afraid of him, Rashi says there that Og was called Polit, the escapee, not like the Gemara that Og escaped from the floods, but he was called escapee because he's the only one who escaped from the war of the kings that's mentioned in Parshas Lech Lecha. And Rashi brings a Pasuk in Devarim, chapter 3, verse number 11, where there the Pasuk says, Kirak Og Melech HaBashan, that only Og, the king of Bashan, Nishar Miyeser Refoim, remained from the Refoim. Meaning that Og is the sole escapee from the war of the kings. And I was trying to figure out, why does Rashi have to change the meaning of the polytheist escapee to say that he escaped the war? Why couldn't Rashi continue saying that he's called escapee because he escaped the floods? And I want to say that Rashi was forced to change the interpretation of the polit because of the question that Toisves in Nida asks. Toisves in Nida asks that since the Gemara just said that Sichon and Og were brothers, then if Og survived the flood, then obviously Sichon would have to survive the flood too. Then if they both survived the flood, how do you know who the polit is? who the escapee is. Maybe the person that came to tell Avraham Avinu, it's not really Og, Melech HaBoshon, it could be that it is Sichon, Melech HaMoiri. Because since they both escaped the flood, then how do you know who is the one that came to talk to Avraham Avinu? And Tosfos answers that from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og, then you see that that polit was really Og. Because otherwise, why was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid? And that could be why Rashi here changed the meaning of polit. Because Rashi was also bothered by the question that how do you know if it's Sichon or Og, since both of them survived the flood. Therefore, Rashi says that it must be Og, because Og also escaped from the war. Not only he escaped from the Mabul, he escaped from the war. And according to Rashi, we must say that Sichon and Og, both of them, escaped to Eretz Yisrael. But the Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos doesn't hold this way. Because the Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos, in the end of Chukas, brings that since the Gemara Nida that we mentioned says that Sichon and Og were brothers, that means that Sichon and Og both had to survive the flood. And we know that it is hinted that Og survived the flood, because it's written in Bereshis chapter 7, verse number 23, Vayishoer ach Noach, that only Noach remained. And Rav Yudah Chassid says the numerical value of the word ach Noach is the numerical value of Og, because the Aleph is 1, the Chav is 20, that's 21, the Nun is 50, that's 71, and the Ches is 8, that's 79. And the numerical value of Og is also 79, because the Ayin is 70, the Vav is 6, that's 76, and the Gimel is 3, that's 79. Then when the Pasuk writes, Vayishoer ach Noach, that only Noach remains, it's alluded that Og also survived. That not only Noach, but also Ach also survived, which is referring to Og. But how did Sichon survive? That's the question of the Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos. The Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos does not answer that Sichon and Og escaped to Eretz Yisrael, because could be that the Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos learns like Rish Lakish that the floods was over the whole world, including Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it cannot be that they escaped to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they have to resort, like the Gemara in Zvachim says, to that idea that Og hung on to the Teva, and Hashem made a miracle that the waters in the side of the ark were cooled down, and Noah fed him. Then he asks, we know that Og was hanging outside the Teva, but where was Sichon? The Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos answers in the name of Rabbi Yechiel Bar Yosef, that Og was born before the flood, and when the flood came, he hung on to the Teva. But Sichon was born inside the Teva, inside the Ark, meaning that Og's mother was pregnant with another child, and she went ahead and married one of the sons of Noach, and she was brought into the Teva, and Sichon was born inside the Teva, meaning that Sichon survived because he was born inside the Ark. I always say it's a good trivia question to know how many people came out from inside the Teva. Normally people will answer that 8 people came out from inside the Teva. Noah, his wife, the 3 children and their wife. But according to this Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos, 9 people came out from inside the Teva. The 8 that we mentioned earlier and Sichon. Then this Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos also answers why only Og is considered the polit, the escapee, because Sichon really did not have to escape the flood, because he was born during the flood inside the ark and didn't have to escape anything. Even though the Daz HaKenim Baal HaTosfos does not mention which son of Noah is the one that married this pregnant woman, which was the mother of Sichon, it's safe to assume that the person that married her, it's Ham. And maybe to cover up the fact that she was already pregnant previously, Ham had relations with her to cover it up. Then obviously the product of that relationship was not Cush, it was actually Sichon. Therefore, could be that the Yad Rama says that Hashem punished Ham himself, that Ham changed his color. But according to Rashi, which Rashi holds that Sichon and Og escaped to Eretz Yisrael. If Sichon and Og escaped to Eretz Yisrael, then when Ham had a relationship with his wife, the product of that relationship was Cush. Therefore, Rashi could say that Cush was punished because he was the product of an illegal relationship. Therefore, Rashi could say that Hashem punished Cush, that Cush changed his colors, but not Ham. But going back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that three species had forbidden relations inside the Ark. Even though the relations was with their mates, nonetheless it was forbidden to have relations inside the Ark. And those three species are the raven, the dog, and Ham. The Rachaim HaKodesh says that this is the reason why Noah sent out the raven. Meaning that since the raven had illegal relations inside the ark, then Noah didn't want anything to do with the raven. Noah wanted to send the raven out, meaning kick him out. Therefore, it's not written a reason why he sent the raven to see if the waters are dry, because Noah wanted to get the raven out no matter what, because of what the raven did inside the ark. And Noah didn't allow the raven back into the ark until Yaboishes Yamaim, until the waters become dry. Meaning the raven never came back inside the ark because Noah would not allow it since he committed the crime of having relations inside the ark. And since the raven would not go anywhere, would circle around and stay on the ark until it became dry, from that Noah deduced that there was water on the ground. Therefore, he waited another 7 days before he sent out the dove. And the Beimaim Chaim explains why didn't he also kick out the dog and kick out Ham, since they also had illegal relations inside the ark. And he answers that since the raven could fly and the raven could hang out on top of the ark, outside of the ark, therefore he sent only the raven. But if you would send the dog and Ham, then they would die. Therefore he only sent out the raven and didn't send out the dog and Ham. The Rachaim HaKodesh then proceeds to explain the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we mentioned, that the raven argued with Noah that your master hates me and you hate me because you are sending me to my death. Then the world will be missing one species. And maybe you want to have relations with the female raven. The Rachaim HaKodesh says that based on the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ayin Omed Alef, that the Gemara there says, Kol HaPoisel B'Mimoy Poisel, that anybody who has a blemish tends to accuse somebody else of having the blemish. And since the raven had illegal relations inside the ark, therefore the raven is accusing Noah of having illegal relations. Therefore, Noah called the raven Rasha, evil one, because it's transferring his blemish to somebody else. And another reason the Rachaim HaKodesh says that Noah called the raven Rasha, evil one, is because when the raven spoke to Noah, the raven said, Rabcho, your master, referring to Hashem, and did not say, Rabbeinu, our master hates me, referring to Hashem. That means he excluded himself from being under Hashem. For that reason, the Rachaim HaKodesh says, Noah called him Rasha, evil one. Why are you excluding yourself? And then the Rachaim HaKodesh notes that in the Gemara, it doesn't seem like Noah answered the raven for his first argument. Meaning that the raven gave two arguments. One argument is that you are sending me away, you want to kill me, thereby ending my species. And the second argument is that maybe you want to have relations with my female raven. And the Gemara only mentions that Noah answered them regarding the second argument, where Noah said, Bemutarli, what is permitted to me, I'm not allowed to do inside the ark, meaning I'm not allowed to have relations with my wife in the ark. How can I have relations with a species that is forbidden for me? But regarding the first argument, it doesn't seem like Noah answered anything to the raven, meaning regarding sending him to his death and ending the species, it doesn't seem like he answered them. Therefore, the Rachaim says that this could be the reason why Rish Lakish calls us Tshuva Nitzchis, that a winning argument the Rav made, but then the Rachaim says that maybe it wasn't such a winning argument and Noach just didn't bother to answer the argument, because since the raven had relations with the female raven, Noach knew that the female raven already had eggs inside her, or already had laid eggs. Then since the raven had already laid eggs, and amongst the eggs there was male and female eggs, then the raven is not needed anymore. Therefore, says the Rachaim, that maybe Noach sent the raven to die, because since he is not needed for the propagation of the species, because the raven already had relations with the female raven and had laid eggs already, then Noach did not care if the raven dies or not. The Beimaim Chaim also agrees with the Or HaChaim HaKodesh that the raven was sent out of the ark not to see if the water have receded, but for another reason. And he explains the reason in two ways. He says that since the Gemara in Erevin Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph 22a writes down that the Oirev Hazeh Uachzari Albanav, that the raven is cruel to his children, meaning that the raven does not want to feed his children. And Rashi on Tehillim 147, verse number 9, where it says, "Hanoisen livhemo lachma," that Hashem gives to the animals its bread, "livnei oirev asher ikroi," to the children of raven, whenever they call. Rashi explains that since the raven is black and the children, when they are young, they are white, then the raven thinks that this is not his children. Therefore, the raven does not want to feed his children. Hashem feeds the children of the raven whenever they call. Just as a side note, based on this Rashi, we could give a different interpretation why the raven told Noach, maybe you are having desires on the female raven. It could be that the eggs of the raven already hatched and the raven saw that the baby ravens are white. Then the raven suspected the female raven of having relations with another species, and he was accusing Noah of having relations with the female raven. But going back to our topic, that since the Gemara says that the raven is cruel, and Noah, after a whole year doing extreme kindness towards the animals, working day and night to do kindness to the animal, to feed them and do whatever they need, Noah could not relate to something as cruel as the raven. Therefore, says the Beimaim Chaim, we could see it in two ways. One way you could say that Noah specifically sent out the raven, because since the raven was cruel and he can't do something good, Noah wanted him to be a messenger for good, to be a messenger to see if the waters have receded, to bring good tidings to the world. But unfortunately, the raven refused, and Noah was upset and sent it out, would not let them come back in. Or we could say that Noah sent the raven because Noah could not tolerate something evil in the world. Therefore, Noah wanted the raven to die. And the Beimaim Chaim makes a point and says that if you take a look at the letters Ha-Oirev in the Torah, where the Oirev is not written with Avav, they are the letters Hey, Ayin, Reish, Vet. And these are the same letters of the word Aveira, sin, which means that the Oirev, the raven, signifies sin. And the Beimaim Chaim continues and says that if you read the Oirev, the raven, normally, the letters are Ayin, Vav, Reish, Vet, which are the same letters Boira, that in him it's evil, meaning that the Oirev again signifies evil. Therefore, Noah, after the Mabul, after the floods, when he's about to start a new world, he wants to send away the evil, send away the sins from the Teva. The Noam Elimelech takes this Pasuk and interprets it completely in a different way. And he says that the Pasuk says, Vayimi Ketzar Boim Yoim, it was after 40 days. These are the 40 days that took Moshe Rabbeinu to learn the Torah. Meaning, after you learn the Torah that was given in 40 days, then Vaiftach Noach es Chalon HaTeva. Then Noach, which he says is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is called Noach, because he is on top of the world, he's resting over the world, he opens up the Teva, the box, that means the box that has holiness in it. The Share Kedusha he opens up to somebody who learned the Torah which was given in 40 days. Then Vayishalach es Oirev, then he sends to this world the Oirev. He says Oirev is from the language sweetness, as it's written in Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse number 14, Ki koylech Oirev, that your voice is sweet, meaning Hashem sends a tzaddik that is sweet, and explains what kind of tzaddik is a tzaddik that is sweet. The Noam HaMelech explains that is a tzaddik that learns, but a tzaddik that works in business, but works be'emuna, with trust in Hashem, and honestly, meaning that everybody who sees him knows that he's an honest person, and he becomes a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name. And the fact that he is working L'Shem Shomayim, for Hashem's sake, meaning that when he goes to work in order to make money, in order to be able to pay the tuition for his children, in order to be able to make a nicer Shabbos, in order to be able to give charity to the poor, in order to be able to support Torah institutions, to support Torah sages, in order to be able to make more mitzvahs, in order to be able to glorify Hashem's name, and he does it honestly. And the only way you could do this honestly and according to Halacha is if you actually learned before, because if you do not learn, even though you think you are an honest person, but it's impossible for you not to transgress certain halachas. Therefore, you are required to learn and then go to business. And then Noam HaMelech continues and explains that by Shalach HaSoirev, after Hashem sends this tzaddik to this world, this tzaddik that is in business, but he has to make sure that Vayetze Yotzoi V'Shoif, that as soon as he goes out, he comes back. Meaning that yes, you have to go to business to make parnasa, you have to go to business to make a living, to do all the mitzvahs that you want to do, but you have to remember that V'Shoif, that you have to return and go back to learning, that you cannot just go to do business and then decide that you're just going to lay back and relax. You are required to go back to learn as soon as you can. You have to go out, but you have to remember that V'Shoif, that you have to come back to sit and learn and go back to the 40 days, go back to the Torah that was given in 40 days. And how long you have to do that? He says, at Yaboishes, until Yaboishes. The Baal Turim says that Yaboishes are the same letters as Tishbi, and Tishbi is called Eliyahu Hanavi, because he is Eliyahu Tishbi. Meaning that we have to do this, go to work and learn ad Yaboishes, until Eliyahu comes and heralds the Mashiach. And Hashem Yisburg should help that we should all do that, meaning that we should all go to work and work honestly and learn Torah, like that will merit to have Eliyahu come to herald the Mashiach. The Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. B'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.